Today we begin a brand new series, and one really cool thing that we're doing with this series is that we are partnering with our kids department. And so what we're teaching here this morning is very similar to what they're teaching in kids church today. So here's a really cool thing. So after church today, your kids are going to get a little flyer, a little piece of paper. And so at home, this if you have kids, maybe this afternoon or this evening or at bedtime when you get home with your kids or with your family, you can sit down and do a family devotion together. And so that's kind of our heart and our thought behind doing this series, partnering with our kids ministry and you guys today. If you don't have kids, and well, you can just read it yourself and hopefully grow closer to Jesus. But we're starting this brand new series. It's called Questions, Questions, Questions. And here's the deal, that Jesus, he asked a lot of really tough questions to people when he was here on earth. The purpose of those questions, it was not to trick people or to confuse people. Instead, the purpose of the questions were to teach them important things and make us really think about our lives and really think about our actions. And so today, I want to encourage you, like I said last week, I want to encourage you to take some notes, to write some things down, not just today, but throughout this whole series or anytime Pastor Dennis is here teaching. Take some notes and write some things down, because who knows what God could speak to your heart. And we say that note takers are, if you were here last week, note takers are what? History makers. And note takers go to heaven, yes. If you're new here, that's totally not true, but it sure doesn't help. It does help. So we're in our Bibles. If you got your Bibles today, we're in the book of Matthew. We're going to start out in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 24. I'm going to read this, and it says this. This is Jesus talking. This is his words. He says this: "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell. And a great fall it was." And Jesus had finished these sayings. After he'd finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as someone who had authority and not of the scribes, as their scribes, who were the haters. So Jesus, what he's doing is he's talking about the difference of someone who's built their life on the sand versus someone who's built their life on the rock. And the difference is a person who applies what God says in the verses in the scriptures and hears and does what God says. Before we get started, can I pray one more time? I don't know. I just feel like we need to start this time once again in prayer. So if you're married, grab the hand of the person next to you. If you're not married, grab your own hand in faith that someday you will be. Reaching out. Sorry, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for our church. I thank you for our time together this morning. We pray that you'll encourage us today. We pray that you'll strengthen us today. Open our ears so we can hear you. Open our hearts to receive from you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Anybody, by a show of hands, you've ever been to the beach? Anybody? Oh yeah, there's a lot of people here. Been to the beach. I enjoy going to the beach. I enjoy the beach. There's this age-old question. You've probably heard it. Are you a beach person or are you a mountains person? And who's the beach people in the house? Where's the mountains people? That's my kind of people. Come on. So I enjoy the beach, but I love the mountains. I enjoy it. But there are people who like to, when you go to the beach, how many of you guys have ever been buried in the sand? And you're like, this is temporary, right? Like you're going to let me out of here, right? Who in here, you've been to the beach and you like to build sandcastles? Anybody, or you've done that before? You've built sandcastles, yeah. Anyone who has been to the beach, you know that whatever you build, however great it is, as soon as the water comes close enough, as soon as the water hits your sandcastle, the water will destroy all of your hard work. It'll destroy everything that you built. See, Jesus is talking about the dangers of building your lives on the sand. See, sand is fleeting. Sand is temporary. Our God has a passion that you do not build your lives on temporary things, but he wants us to build our lives on permanent things, on solid things, on the solid ground. Isaiah 40, it says this, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of God will last how long? Forever. That's something you can stand on. Don't build your lives on trends or fads or quotes from Twitter or Instagram or Pinterest. Build your lives on the promises of God. This right here, the promises of God. So Jesus starts out with this whole analogy, this whole story saying, okay, he says, whoever, and when he's saying whoever, he's talking to anyone and everyone. It doesn't matter your race or what you believe or politically or anything like that. He's saying whoever. He's saying anyone and everyone. Whoever hears my words and applies them, he's saying whoever listens to my words and follows what I say and does them. Well, let me give you a few things to write down today if you're taking notes. The first thing is this. Jesus is talking about hearing and doing. He's talking about hearing and doing. He's talking about people who don't only hear what God says, but they put action behind it, that they do what he says. There's nothing more tragic than someone who hears what God says and never applies it and never uses it. The Bible says this in James 1:22. It says, don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers of God's word. In other words, it does no good for you to have a bunch of information. God doesn't want you to come to church on a Sunday or on a Wednesday and hear a message and get your information and maybe you feel good about yourself, but do nothing with it. No, God wants us to hear the word, to get information, to get inspiration, to land in our feet and our hands and give it application. Information, inspiration, and application. That's what he wants us to do. You don't just hear a lot about God, but you're doing a lot about God. Is there anyone that knows that you need to apply God's word today? When I ask those questions, you can be like, amen, or like, preacher, homeboy, or preacher, brother. You can do that. It's not like, I can ask you, you can talk back a little bit. Does anybody know you need to apply God's word? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I like that. So let me ask you a question today. Are you putting yourself in a place to where you can hear from God? Are you putting yourself in places to where you can hear from God? You come to church, the word's being taught. Are you playing around? Are you on your phone? You're scrolling around, maybe texting, maybe Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat. Are you really engaging and listening in God's word? Are you sleeping? If someone next to you falls asleep today, you better get that sharp elbow ready. Whack! Let me ask you today, are you positioning your life where you can hear from God? That's part of being in church. It's part of reading your Bible. It's part of worship. It's getting into a place to where you can hear from God because you cannot apply what you do not know. It starts with knowing the word. Starts with knowing the word. Jesus says, whoever hears my word and whoever does my word, puts it into action, I liken that to a wise man. In other words, people that do what I have to say about money, about service, about giving, about serving, about the trials of life, about dealing with people, about loving your haters, about living life. People that hear what I say and do what I have to say, these people will be marked as wise people. Does anybody want to be wise? The second thing I want you to know is this, and we're all about goals. The second thing is this, goals, be the wise man. Be the wise person. The goal is not how much I can have, how good I can look, how many followers I can attract, how successful I can be. The goal is wisdom. And the definition of wisdom is this, wisdom is the application of knowledge. It does you no good to know a lot, but don't do a lot. Be wise. Be doers. It does you no good to know what God says, but don't apply what God says. I remember a few summers ago, we were on a missions trip and we were doing some missions work. We went to Denver, Colorado, and we worked with a friend of mine who runs a homeless ministry there. And one day we would make a bunch of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, PBJ sandwiches, because that's how you really minister to someone, right? I believe that PB&J will be in heaven. You know what amazed me was we would go to, there was this park down the road, and in this park were possibly 100 or so homeless people. And we made loads of sandwiches, and we took them down there, and we set up, and we had opportunity to talk with and to pray with and to minister to people. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not all homeless people, and we are not to judge at all. But what amazed me was how many homeless people knew the Word of God. I mean, like, knew the Word of God. They could quote scripture better than most pastors that I know. But here's the deal. It does you no good to know a whole lot, but not apply a whole lot. Wisdom is taking what you know and applying it to your everyday life. If it inspires you on Sunday, you should live it out on Monday. It's not about what you hear. It's about what you do with what you hear. A wise person is someone who says, I've heard what God says, and now I'm going to apply what God says. See, God called me to forgive. Oh, but I got to forgive. I'm going to forgive. God called me to be generous. Oh, that's difficult to do. I got bills. I got kids. They eat a lot. But God called me to be generous. I'm going to be generous. God called me to love my enemies. No, not that one, God. Even though I got a lot of enemies. I've got to love my enemies. Because I want to be marked as the wise man, not the fool. A fool does nothing about what they've heard. Don't be a fool. The wise man applies what God has to say. There's this guy in the Bible, his name's Solomon. You might have heard of him. He wrote 3 books in the Bible. Proverbs, which is like, if you are a Twitter person, it's like a whole book full of tweets. Like short, like couple liners, and you'd be like, that is so smart. That is so good. It's a whole book full of tweets. And it will make yourself look really good. Just pick out something from Proverbs, tweet it. People think you're super smart. Retweets for days. Solomon, he wrote Proverbs. He wrote Ecclesiastes, which is kind of a downer. And Song of Solomon. If you're single, don't read that one. But the Bible says, that he was way more wise than anyone in all the land. But the Bible goes on to talk about how he was the pinnacle of wisdom. God had spoken to him and to not get involved with these women. Don't even get close to them. Now Solomon, with all of his wisdom, defies what God says. And he falls in love with, like, all the women. And even though he was once wise, now in this area, he's foolish. You see, you may be sitting here feeling all good about yourself today, thinking that you're wise, I know a lot of the Bible. I have memorized scripture all the time. But there are areas in your life where you can feel wise, but there are also areas in your life where you can be really foolish. You have to work to be wise in all areas. It starts with knowing God's word. It starts with knowing him and his word. Is there anyone who wants to be marked as a wise person? Yeah. God says, whoever hears my words and applies them, I will liken them to a wise man who built his life upon the rock. He didn't build his life on the sand so he could be destroyed. He built his life on the rock, which is the word of God. Number three, our foundation is built on the word. It's built on the word. I'm not looking at politics. I'm not looking at celebrities. I'm not looking at my friends tell me what to build my life on. I'm not looking at the trends, or I'm not looking at all the fads or all the cool things to do to build my life on. I'm looking at what the Bible says. It's the Bible, because that's the book for me. Don't make me preach. It's the Bible. I'm building my life on the rock. Watch this. Watch what the Bible says. You'll see it right here. Psalm 119, 105. It says this. Your word is a lamp to my feet and it's a light to my path. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says this. All scripture, how much is scripture? All scripture is inspired by God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Complete and thoroughly equipped to do good work. Let me translate that for you. The word of God will show you what to do. It'll show you what to do. Like, and not what to do when you haven't been doing what you're supposed to be doing. It will show you what to do. It's our path. It's our guide. Joshua 1:8 says this, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it both day and night, that you may observe to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Anyone in here want to be prosperous and have good success? Amen. Yeah. Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is alive and it's active. This is not a dead book. This is an alive book. Did you know that the Bible is the only book in the history of the world where the author himself comes to teach you what it's saying? I want you to know who you really are. So start to read the Bible. It will show you who you really are. I don't want to be a person who builds my life, my family, our student ministry, Crown Point Church, in the sand. I want to build my life on the word and on the rock of God. But here's the deal, though. We don't read the Bible to just gain all this knowledge. That's part of it. We read the Bible because it points us to Jesus. Reading your Bible is the greatest way to get to know Jesus. If you want to know Jesus and what he says, you read the Bible. Let's put it this way. If I wanted to know something about you, I met you today. Maybe this is your first time here today at church, and I wanted to know something about you. I shook your hand. I got your name. I got to know you just a little bit. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to stalk you online. I'm going to look up your Instagram. I'm going to look up your Facebook. I'm going to stalk you on social media. I'm going to see your pictures. I'm going to see what you're all about. Read your about section. Tell you what you're interested in. Reading the Bible is the greatest way to get to know Jesus. If you want to know Jesus, you have to know what he says. You have to read the word. Let's put it this way. Basically, you'll know Jesus' heart by opening up the Bible and learning what he has to say. And when you get to know him, you start building your life on the rock, on his truth and his principle and his promises, on what Jesus has to say. See, I'm not going to just know a lot. I'm going to apply a lot. By applying a lot, what I'm doing is I'm laying a foundation for my future. the man who builds his life on the rock. When the rain pours and the wind gusts and the storms of life drops, he says, this man will not fall because he's got a firm foundation on the rock. Next thing I want you to know is rainfall doesn't mean that I fall. Rainfall does not mean that I fall. If I could get Pastor Nick to come back up, I'm going to be closing. Some of you say amen. Some of you in this room, and actually not literally, but some of you are standing in this room when you shouldn't be standing. That the storms of life have nailed you so hard that you stand on the rock when you shouldn't be standing. Some of you are smiling when you shouldn't be smiling. Some of you have had divorce, sickness, bankruptcy. You've been hurt so emotionally, so bad, and you're still standing today. You have not crumbled. You stand on the rock. When the rain falls, you better have a strong foundation. Listen to me. There have been so many attacks on my life that have come on my life. And if I wouldn't have already had a firm foundation on the word of God, I would have crumbled. But no matter what storms may come at me, I can stand and face them today because my foundation is Jesus. I knew to worship. I knew to praise God. I knew who Jesus is and who he was. I stand on the word of God. I knew that he would never leave me and he would never forsake me. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. When sickness and disease comes, I start to quote scripture over my life. This morning, this weekend, I have been in terrible pain all weekend. I broke a tooth in my mouth and I have been self-medicating. Yeah, that's smart. But I couldn't get a dentist appointment until Monday. I've been in so much pain this weekend. Eric, and he led our Sunday school class, and he and a group of students prayed over me this morning. I feel no pain right now. And it could be the really good drugs too, but I don't know. But my mom taught me. She taught me. She would help me memorize as a child. She would help me memorize scripture the way that I know, so I know how to stand on the word. A firm foundation. She would say stuff like, I'm above and not below. I'm the head and not the tail. I am more than a champion. I'm a conqueror in Christ Jesus, and by his stripes I'm healed. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I can do all things through Christ because he gives me the strength. See, you've got to have a firm foundation. If you don't have a firm foundation, you're going to wish that you did. Now, here's what I'm saying today. You're going to go through some stuff in life, some really, really hard stuff, some difficult things. You've got to take comfort in the word of God. You've got to know Jesus. You've got to trust in him. When the enemy attacks, you praise Jesus anyways. You got to stand on the rock. Today, there's a lot of people in this room. You may have been attacked your whole life. You may be recently being attacked. You may be in the process of being attacked right now. You may feel like the rain is falling and you need the rock. You need Jesus. You need a firm foundation. We serve a God who can redeem all that's been destroyed. Let me ask you today, do you love Jesus? I'm going to ask you again, do you love Jesus? John 14, verse 15. And honestly, here is the scripture that is the basis of this whole, what we're talking about today. It says this, if you love me, obey my commands. There's the dagger right there, right? We hear this, we see this, we know this. We know we need to apply this. We say we love Jesus. We say we're followers of Jesus. And then he's got to say something like that. If you really love me, you'll obey what I've got to say. Oh, shoot, Jesus. Even the one that says, I need to forgive. And he's like, yeah, 70 times 7. oh, Jesus, not loving my enemies. I only hate them a little bit. Like, he's like, no, you got to love them too. Jesus, I love you a lot, but what about gossip? I got some things people need to know. Don't do that. Jesus, I only look at pornography a little bit. I'm trying to save you from lust and from sin and ruining your marriage or your future marriage. Jesus, it's only a little bit of a lie. Death and life are in the power of your words. But I'm so scared. I'm so afraid. Jesus says, I didn't come to give you the spirit of fear. He said, I didn't do that. This just got a lot heavier than I intended. But you see, if us in this room, if we say that we love Jesus and we love him and he's the most important one and we give our lives to him and he's the most valuable things in our, if we say we're followers of Jesus. See, when you follow something, you're behind it. You're behind it. And you're following someone and you're directly behind it. Whatever it is they're doing, you're doing. Whatever it is that they're saying, you're saying. The action that you, when you're following, you're following. And if you're going to continue to follow, then you have to fully submit to that direction. But the moment that you try and alter that direction, you're no longer following the leader. At its most basic level, following Jesus means to follow his teachings and obey his commands. Let's all stand together. One more time. Do you love Jesus? Can you firmly and completely say that you love Jesus? And he says, if you love me, obey my commands. If you love me, follow what I have to say. If you've given your life to this, if you say, Jesus, I lay down everything for you and for your word, we got to put action behind what we're saying. If I'm honest, and I might as well be, we're in church today. If I'm honest, I think we're all a little bit broken. I'm sure we've all fallen short. And I think we all need to respond in one way or another. I've asked Pastor Nick if he would close with this song today. And I think you'll all know it. You'll all resonate with it. And it's this is just us making a statement. This is us making a declaration today. Of who we are, of this next step that we're going to take, of how we're going to follow Jesus. I'm sure you know it, but let's today, if we could, with our words, with our hearts, and then as we walk out of here with our actions, let's let Jesus know that we love him and that we surrender everything to him. Can we, for a moment, let's just close our eyes and let's just sing together.